It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you are in the loop right here on a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Adetula, Byron Matthews hanging out in for our guy Figgy Fig on a day where we're looking forward towards the Texans-Colts game. I know the morning show, they found the positivity in all of this, and we just came in and brought a whole bunch of negativity back to it, right? I almost want to make this shift our segment and just be like, can we find more of the positivity in this particular game going forward?
Well, maybe not this segment, but
why not?
But let's say this. We all agree the Texans will win on Sunday.
I feel that way, absolutely.
I feel that
way. Byron, do you also feel that way?
Of course.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
So there's your positivity.
I don't like losing to Indianapolis. I know a Colts fan that talks very highly of AR5, and I just like, dude, don't do it to yourself.
Don't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
So there's your positivity.
Okay.
Texans will win. They will beat the Colts on Sunday.
Excellent.
That said.
Yeah.
That said.
All right. Let me at least get you some of the notes from practice as the guys practice on the field at NRG today, getting ready for that game that'll be at NRG against the Colts on Sunday. Aziz Alshayer still not practicing, so he's just complete no-go.
Yeah.
But Kamari Lassiter did practice, third practice in a row, so he should be good to play. Your cornerback depth stretches just a little bit again, but hopefully Jeff Okuda is making progress injury wise. But yeah, at least you have the two guys in theory that you feel the best about at your corner spots. They're gonna go right back into that distance or that deep passing
goal. Well, they're gonna do that. They're definitely gonna try it.
With the Colts. Henry Toto also practiced again after missing practice yesterday. An interesting week for him. Practiced on Wednesday. Did not practice on Thursday, practiced again on Friday. So we'll see how available he is and if he plays. Hopefully, you imagine he will. No Jimmy Ward, so Eric Murray and Kalen Bullock are still the guys to look at safety-wise in this game. And there you go. Like that's what you're looking at for your Texans team when it comes to availability. And D'Angelo Ross also practiced after being sidelined with an illness yesterday. That's obviously not as big of a deal necessarily, but... good to know. So there you go. Those are the guys that are practicing. Those are the guys that feel better. But speaking of feeling better, how do you feel about this offense going into this game with all of the things that we're considering with Bobby Slowick? We talked about it to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Slowick came out with a pretty strong mea culpa.
He didn't.
Yeah. I think that it existed within the mea culpa. He's like, hey, man, I have to own up to my culpability in these things. Bad play call on 3rd and 15. Probably can do better in getting the message across. However,
yeah,
also in line with not getting the job done has been that the offensive line simply is not communicating well, it seems like, or they're not doing the things that they clearly know to do that have been put in front of them since training camp and that they've worked on, whether it's, you know, in loud environments, which he says they've worked on for a few weeks, right? Or whether it's, you know, dealing with certain stunts and those types of things, what it feels like they've worked on. The offensive line still has its responsibility. Within all of that, do you have a level of confidence in this offense in general and the overarching look at this offense?
In general, absolutely. In general, I've been one of Bobby Slowick's biggest fans, and that's from even before he was hired. In general, they're going to be able to do a lot of things, you know, presuming the offensive line gets these things corrected. But when Bobby Slowick was talking, not just this week, not just yesterday, you know, when he was talking about the false starts, back a few weeks ago, lining up incorrectly a few weeks ago, he did say that's something that we have to do, but it is something we've worked on. And then yesterday, he's talking about getting in and out of the huddle on time. It's something that we've been working on, but they're not doing it. And then recognizing looks. Hey, D'Amico has showed us these same looks since training camp. So it's something that we've worked on, but we're not doing. That's why I'm saying it's like he's falling on the sword and then making sure everybody gets grazed a little bit as well. And so what bothers me about that, and again, I like Bobby Slowick. I got confidence in him. I certainly feel like he can call a hell of a game sometimes. But these things, getting in and out of the huddle, lining up right, false starts, knowing what a defense is showing you, these are fundamentals. And oftentimes people use that word casually, but these are things that should have been done already, that should have been almost second nature, or should have been second nature already. And so these are all things that should have been perfected in your training camp, and you're still talking about, hey, we got to work on getting into the huddle. We got to work on lining up right. We got to work on taking advantage of these schemes, which we've already seen. That bothers me a little bit, because that's coaching. That's coaching.
Yeah, but I mean, look, man, there's coaching and there's being coachable.
That's a fair point.
Right, like there's coaching, but
is it the player?
I think that some of what he was saying was a defense of the coaching, and in some ways it highlighted the possibility that there's not enough coachability within this offensive line group of getting that message and taking it and taking what has been shown to them from the defense that they've practiced against, right? The defense that you imagine would give them a lot of issues, and hey man, you have to learn how to hold up against pass rush. This team creates the most, is one of the top pressure creators in the league, this defensive line, right? You would imagine after going up against them time and time again during camp, although there's some people on this line that didn't play during camp, right? that you would get some level of understanding of how to handle, you know, stunts and all these types of things, but it feels like you did not, right? So as coachability comes in with some of this. And then I want to circle back around to Bobby Slowik himself, right? Because I know that he did a little bit of falling on his sword, as you termed it. But that is cool. What is being done to make it better? And so there was a couple questions asked of him that I thought was really interesting in this perspective. And this will be Slowik 2 here. Both of these kind of adjustment related in some ways. He was asked, was the focus last week to do more with quick developing plays going in, or was that just a change in the game?
When your quarterback starts to get hit, that's what you're going to do, yeah. So we stopped doing some of this. I mean, we hit Dalton on a 7-step early in the game on an explosive, and then I think CJ got smacked like 3 times in a row. And then if you still want to have a pass game, you got to find a way to still move forward and not backward. And, you know, that's a strain to do that.
So that's speaking about, you know, maybe the lack of like some of the big deep shots or deep drops that would lead to deep shots in the change
because
in that
he's
game.
Getting crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the capability of doing that? Because it did not feel like they were particularly effective even in trying to look at some of the more shorter.
But you know what? As I'm listening to you, and you're absolutely right, you know, is it, you know, I said that's coaching, you know, the fundamentals, that the stuff that you should have learned in training camp. And then you brought up coachability. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And that's what, you know, we're talking about, and they have to figure out. Is it the players not getting the message, not somehow implementing the message, even if they're getting it? Or is it the messenger? That's what we're talking about here. And that's why when D'Amico Ryan said everything's on the table, I didn't rule out, you know, maybe changing the approach from a coaching perspective, not firing anybody, but you know what I mean? Just sort of trying to mix things up. And if it's the same starting offensive line out there and the same things crop up, that's a bad look on both ends.
A text from the 936, I don't agree with the coachable point. You don't make it to the NFL if you're not coachable. I don't think that's inherently true.
Right.
Obviously, I understand what you're saying, right? Like, by and large, you would imagine that people are fairly coachable if they make it to the NFL. But there's some dudes with outsized talent that are going to make it to the NFL. And I don't think you can disagree that you have guys on this offensive line that have a lot of talent. And again, there's varying degrees of coachable. I don't know that that's a pass-fail metric as opposed to like a spectrum of sorts. And right now, I don't know that you are hitting the right spectrum of coachability, at least in what if you are to take Bobby Slowik at his word, which I don't know that I'm seeing a guy who is lying or stretching the truth in these answers that we're hearing.
No, he's being very candid, and I appreciate that. But it also just makes us wonder even more, like, all right, you're coaching them. You've seen it all since training camp. It's not resonating. And you're going to run the same guys out there? Look, I'm not trying to say, like, change the offensive line. But something's got to be done here. If we see that again at home against the Colts team that you should beat, as we talked about to start this segment, it's, you know, Texter says, has Bobby Slowik's stock as a head coach dropped drastically in the past few games.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know about drastically. There are certain, you know, things.
I think drastically, but I think it's for a particular reason.
And that is?
Amongst us locally, those of us that watch this Texans team consistently, I don't think so, because I think that the questions were there mm-hmm. in some ways. Like, all right, Bobby, what you got for us?
Yeah.
I think from a national perspective, which I think matters when you're talking about various other teams possibly coming in and trying to hire him.
Yeah.
I don't know how quickly it got to a point where people were like, huh, is Bobby Slowick, yeah, what's he doing down there, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that you were getting wins, as I think you know, like the Texans were, you know, stacking the wins and moving up people's power rankings as a team that was a Super Bowl contender and all those things.
CJ has made plays, which always points back to
right.
him.
But then once you get like a big, really well-focused on around mm-hmm. the league game like that, especially when you have issues like you did in this Packers game, I think that there are some people around the league nationally that were like, huh, wait, hold on. Why does it look like that?
Yeah.
And I think that might have kind of, you know, knocked his,
his
stock
a little bit of the luster was off after that game. You know, it really comes down to, you know, where do you think, and this is just all opinion from the outside looking in, whether it's us or fans or whomever, do you think the offensive line, that it's an offensive line messaging problem or a Bobby Slowick messaging problem? Are they just not getting it? Are they just not doing it? Or is it Bobby Slowick just not delivering it right? I mean, that's what you have to decide. That's what you have to think.
And the thing that I think is tough about this, and maybe this is just a general situation, this is a philosophy I have with a lot of these things, rarely is it one or the other. It's some combination
sure.
of both. And I think that's been my big frustration with this offensive line all the way around, is it doesn't feel like it's one thing or the other. It feels like a whole bunch of things that have come together to a real nasty stew of not good enough play. Like, even game to game, the things that have been bad for this offensive line have been different. Pre-snap penalties,
yeah.
holds, inability to pick up free pass rushers, right? Like, it's just been different things of bad every time. And sometimes it's just been lapses here and there. I think it's what allows the likes of D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio to get out here and tell us that actually that was a better game because you have certain plays where they're making it happen and mm-hmm. other plays where they're not. But that is not sufficient enough for an offensive line, where admittedly, an offensive line, you kind of need them to be on point all the time.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't, as D'Amico said, just a bad day, because as you just illustrated, it's different things. It's been different things. It all points back to the offensive line in some way or another. And you, like I said, you just have to realize, you have to decide, is that their problem or is that Bobby's problem?
Yeah, they playing bad play whack-a-mole.
Yeah, they
you know
are.
What I'm saying?
They are.
Like, one, all right, here comes pre-snap penalties. Well, we knock that down.
Yeah.
Well, here comes more holds and we knock that down. And, oh, here is us just not picking up a stunt in the front, which although that has happened a few times early in the season as well. Whatever it is, and I think this is where the tough part about it is, whichever part of it is, the buck does stop with Bobby.
Bobby Slowick could really use a big day from the offense, running and passing, and more than anything, blocking. If it doesn't, like, even if they win, I think Sean asked us this when we were doing the toss. Like, are we going to still, you know, be worried, complaining, whatever you want to call it, on Monday, even with a win? Yeah, that's on the table if they don't really show something. The style points all of a sudden are coming into play for Bobby, much less the Texans.
And what's funny about this? I think there's still room to have the conversation even afterwards, because let me paint a picture for you here, mm-hmm. Lopez. The offensive line comes out, and they are immaculate. They are flawless against the Colts.
They're plowing, protecting.
Your first question is...
On that?
Right, no. They do what they're supposed to do. Where does your brain go? After seeing the offensive line for the Texans, oh, wow. Boom, they did all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Your first thought is...
What? What do you think it is?
Well, I know for me, it's like, okay, so y'all had this in you?
Oh,
why couldn't y'all do this before?
Okay.
And then secondarily...
I wasn't quite sure where you were going with
right,
that.
Why couldn't you do this before? First of all, secondarily, I would probably ask, how much of that is the opponent that you're facing off against that's not that good?
That's probably more
we're
going
to
like
have
it.
Things to talk
that's
about
probably
still, even if they get it
like
right.
It, yeah.
But at the very least, let's do that. Let's do those conversations,
yeah.
And then you're still not getting it right.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. See, you know what? Now I got a Bobby Slowick here. My bad. I did not ask the question in such a way where Lopez would get it.
It didn't resonate. It was.
Now, I mean, he probably should have understood it.
Trust me, it was me.
However,
it was on me.
I will take the responsibility.
It was on me
as the man asking the question. Mea culpa. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time for our lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.